Are always comfortable with, but thank you, my brother, and all of you deacons who have filled in this difficult time in the life of your church. May God bless you. You have such a beautiful building. You have such a warm and friendly fellowship. I look forward to every opportunity to come and be with you. The title of my message this morning is one word, if, I-F, if. Webster's dictionary, in his wisdom, has said an expression of uncertainty or doubt. Now, don't be misled with the title, okay? That's a very short title, if. That has nothing to do at all with the length of my sermon today. It's such a joy to be here. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We are just so blessed to have Christian mothers. Could I take just a moment to share with you a little bit about my mom? She was such an integral part of me becoming a pastor, a minister. Her name was Elizabeth. Mom was born in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Do we have any Tar Heels here today? Yeah, there's a couple of Tar Heels. You probably know where Rocky Mount is. Mom was the daughter of a sharecropper, James and Annie Paget. During the Great Depression, Granddad lost his job as a carpenter, and he had my grandmother, Annie, leave her job as a blanket factory seamstress and move out to a farm to be a sharecropper. And I've heard so many stories about how they almost starved to death during those years of the Depression. Mom often told me that she would go to school and her shoes literally had holes in the sole of her shoes, and Grandma Paget would put pieces of cardboard inside of her shoes so that she could walk on them. Mom never finished high school. She left when she was about 15, left home and went to work as a waitress. At some point down the road, she met my dad, John, who was a native of Colonial Heights. You talk about a wedding day. They were married. Mom figured that once you get married, you should stop working, so she quit her job. And just before the day of the wedding, Dad was working over at Bellwood Depot. An explosion took place on a chemical train that was there, and Dad, to save his life, had to jump off the top of this tank car, broke his leg. And so when they went down the aisle to get married, she was jobless, and Dad was jobless with a broken leg, walking down on crutches. So any of you planning on getting married anytime soon, I hope you have greater luck than my mom and dad did. But let me just tell you a little bit about my mom. She came to know Jesus Christ when I was about 5 years old. We moved to Custer Street up off of Halifax Street in Petersburg. Pastor Ray Cutchin from Monumental Baptist Church came by and visited on several occasions and led my father and mother to Christ. I was about 5 years old. And when Mom got saved, I mean, she got a dose. We didn't have a car then. We didn't get a car till 1956. So we would walk to church right down Halifax Street to the old Monumental Church. We went to Sunday school. I was taken to morning worship. We went to training union in the evening. Some of you still remember BTU, Baptist Training Union. We stayed for Sunday night worship. We walked our way on Wednesday to Wednesday night prayer service. I think I remember Mom even dragging me to the WMU meetings. I'm not real sure about that. But when Mom got saved, she really got saved. And what I really want to share with you today is that my mom, though she never finished high school, was a woman of great prayer. She prayed me through college and prayed me through seminary and all the pitfalls. And I always knew Mom was praying for me. There was a time when I was without a church, when I had left the Ettrick Church and I didn't have a place to go to. And Mom said, well, I'll pray that God will open a door. And I said, well, here's an idea. Call Dr. Jack Patterson. I don't know if any of you knew Jack Patterson or not, but Jack was grew up in the Emmanuel Church where I grew up. He preached every Sunday out of the Nestle's Greek text, if you can imagine that, Frank. Every sermon he preached right out of the Greek. He was a brilliant scholar, had two PhDs, one from Edinburgh, Scotland. And I said, Mom, if you want to do something to help, call Jack and see if he could recommend me somewhere. And she thought about it for a little while, and she said, okay, but let me pray first. And so Mom prayed that Jack would be receptive to maybe recommended me to a church somewhere. And so Mom got off her knees, stood up, and reached for the phone. And after she prayed, the phone rang, and guess who was on the other line? Jack Patterson. And Jack said, I've got a place that Dennis might be interested in. Now, you think that's a coincidence? And so I took the opportunity to talk with the people at in church down near Deltaville. Had never been to that part of the country, didn't know anybody in that part of the country. But the church was called Harmony Grove. It was a big church. They were running about 180 on Sunday. And so I talked to them, and they were without a pastor, and so they invited me to come down and preach one Sunday. So I go down there to this place I've never been and preach the sermon. The pulpit committee was 150 miles away from there, up in the mountains, listening to another fellow, another preacher. And when they came back, the people at Harmony Grove said, well, we had a guy here this morning, and let me tell you about him. And do you know, they met with me and they called me without the pastor search committee ever having heard me preach. Now, that's unheard of. I stayed there for 13 years and God blessed in that ministry. But you know what started it was, is my mom. My mom never finished high school, never was a true leader in the church, but boy, she could pray. And I am what I am today after way over 50 years in the ministry, right here in Virginia, 50-some years, because of the prayers of my mother. If you have a godly Christian mother, you need to not only tell her, but give thanks to the Lord. Mom passed away about 4 years ago, 92 years of age. Macular degeneration had taken her eyesight. She was deaf as a post. She said, son, I am ready to go. I am ready to meet the Lord Jesus. So that's my story. I don't know what your mother's story is. I wish we had time to hear from you today. All right. If it's an expression of uncertainty or doubt. Let me put my eyes in here. I only wear these when I want to see. Mark chapter 9 and starting in verse 14. And when he saw his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were really amazed and running to him, saluting him. And he asked the scribes, why question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation. See what's missing? Faith. O faithless generation. How long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long has it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And catch this now. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to your word. The story has come to us down through the ages of a man who came to Jesus but had an if you can do anything. Father, I pray that you would open my mouth and my heart that I may speak about this terrible illness, sin, disease called faithlessness. Help us never to say to the Lord Jesus, if. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want us to see is what I call the if of Jesus' power. The if of Jesus' power. Here comes this father with a son that is in desperate straits. I mean, you think about something inside of him that made him want to jump into the fire, caused him to foam at the mouth, to roll. There was no physician that could help him. And so he comes to Jesus. He makes a good decision. He makes the right decision. Somebody said, if all else fails, come to Jesus. Well, I'm not sure that's the proper method, but at least he got there. But listen to what he said. He said, if you can do anything. Now, let me ask you this. Can you imagine someone coming to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man who walked on the waters, who caused blind people to see, caused deaf people to hear, raised the dead, for goodness sakes, who is God in the flesh. In him, the scripture says, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, all of God, the Father, the Creator, was poured into Jesus, his Son. And so this guy comes to Jesus and he says, if you can do anything. Oh, my soul, it just amazes me that someone could say that to Jesus. If you can do anything. He had an issue with faith. You know what the great problem with Christian people today? Unbelief. We're ready to make excuses for God. We're ready to make excuses for church. We're ready to make excuses for what's going on in our nation today. I want to tell you, there is a faith problem. And so this man came to Jesus with a faith problem. Now, Jesus put his finger on it. You really don't fool Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees, they came to Jesus with all kinds of little gimmicky tricks and tried to get him to say something that would incriminate himself. And Jesus never lost an argument. He always put those people in their place. And so the problem was a man's faith. He had an issue of faith. There is a verse that I love that comes up here. And I think it's God's word for the Christians today. And I think it's God's word for the church. Do you hear me? God's word for the church. Here it is right here. He says, everything is possible to him who believes. Don't you like that? What is possible? What is impossible? What did Jesus say? Everything on the face of this earth is possible when it is confronted by faith. He spoke once about the faithless generation. And I don't know, that was probably true in this day and time. I want to tell you, it's true today. is true today. We do not step out on faith. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Don't you like that? What do you believe for? What are you trusting God for? What is it that is failing in our lives because of unbelief? Now, you may have not noticed this, but this man had two prayer requests. First off, my son, heal my son. Any of us who are parents know how helpless we feel when our children are seriously ill or have received the notice from the doctor there's nothing more that he can do for us. When our children get into trouble, get into places where we can't really extricate them, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Have you ever wept over your son? Have you ever wept over your daughter? You can sympathize with this man. He was praying that Jesus would heal his son. But he had a second prayer. He said, I believe. And then he said, I can't pull the wool over Jesus' eyes here. I need to confess. And so he said, help thou my unbelief. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows what's going on in your life. Jesus knows everything about us. And he loves us anyway. And that's a marvelous thing to get a hold of. And so he said, help my unbelief. I believe the church needs to pray that prayer today. You know, there are other things that the church needs to do. The church needs to get out into the world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It needs to demonstrate holiness and righteousness and so many things. But it has to start. Help thou my unbelief. That's the issue. Do we believe? Do we believe what Jesus is able to do? And so he confesses his own weakness. Notice the power that is unleashed when this man comes clean with Jesus. Verses 25 through 27. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him, tore him, and came out of him. There's no power on this earth that can resist the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus speaks, the wind stops blowing. The waves stop raging. The skies are cleared. Nothing on the face of this earth can resist the word of Jesus Christ. And so fighting for all it's worth, this evil spirit came out of him. Insomuch as many that said he is dead. I mean, this fellow looked like he was dead. He was just out. And everybody said, oh gosh. He brought him to Jesus and now Jesus has killed him. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. There's an old hymn we used to sing, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Taken from that encounter with the disciples coming out of the temple gate. When he said to that lame man, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? There is power in the name, the very name of the Lord Jesus. And so we come to the end of that story, and I need to move on. Someone said Salem Church seldom starts right at 11 o'clock. And I said, well, that's okay, because I seldom finish at 12 o'clock. But if you have to go somewhere, I'll understand. There's the if of Jesus' power. There's the if of Jesus' willingness. Let me take you to Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper, a man with leprosy, beseeching him and kneeled down to him, saying, and I want you to hear this, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. You see, the first man's problem was a problem of doubting Jesus' power. If you can do anything. This man had faith, okay? This man had faith, and he said, you can make me clean. That's a statement of faith. A man with leprosy was like a death sentence. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were set apart in a leper colony away from family and friends. It was like being in prison. Nobody wanted to touch you, afraid they'd catch some terrible disease from you. And so this man came and said, you can make me clean. And Jesus was filled with compassion. But there was something wrong with this man's request. Did you see it? Did you see what he said? If you will. What was he questioning? He was not questioning Jesus' power to heal. He was questioning Jesus' willingness to heal. How many ever times have you prayed and before you got the words out of your mouth, you wondered and doubted and said, I don't know if God's going to hear my prayer. I'm not a particularly righteous person. I'm not anybody special. God is not going to listen to me. I'm not important enough. Let's be honest. Have you ever felt that way? You ever prayed just felt like, man, God's too busy. He won't hear my prayer. Here was a stranger, a leper, a man who came up and said, if you are willing. And this if is just as damning as the other if. It's just as bad to doubt the willingness of Jesus to heal as it is to doubt the power of Jesus to heal. And so this man comes to Jesus and says, if you will, you can have compassion, if you are willing. Now, I love the brevity and the simplicity of Jesus' answer. Do you see it here? It said, if you will, Jesus looked at the man and said, I am willing. Nothing complicated about that. Nothing requires a lot of mental exercise on that. This man said, if you're willing, and Jesus said, I am willing. Can I suggest to you that Jesus is more than willing to hear your prayers, to answer your prayers, to meet your needs? Jesus is no respecter of persons. If that were true, I'd have never been called to preach, and I'm not so sure about Frank. Not by our own merit, but God just was not going to reach down to me down at Campbell University a few years ago and call me to preach. And I'll never forget, the pastor at Emmanuel Church said, I'm not really ready to ordain you, Dennis, because so many young men say they want to go into the ministry, and then after a year or two, they give up and drop out, get discouraged, get frustrated, and go sell insurance. He said, I'm going to wait a year before I ordain you. So I was actually pastor of Pine Grove Baptist Church for 12 months before my pastor would ordain me into the ministry. I had a friend of ours, Joyce Simmons, in Colonial Heights, who stays in touch with our pastor. And I said, please call the pastor and tell him that I just celebrated my 53rd anniversary in the ministry. Do you think I'm going to stick? Jesus is willing to reach down to the humblest, to the most needy, to the one who has the world's worst inferiority complex. Have you ever felt inferior? Did you go to school and feel like you were just, the bottom of the barrel? Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you, and he's willing to hear your prayers. Let's get this straight. You do not have a need that Jesus is not willing and able to answer your prayers. Let me move on quickly. The third thing I want to say is this: the if of Jesus' divinity. Let me take you to the cross of Calvary. And there Jesus hangs on that cross as a savior for our sins, dying in our place. He was the propitiation, big fancy word, who settles the debt that we owed, our sin debt. And here come the scribes and the Pharisees, bless these people, and they make fun of Jesus hanging on the cross. Take that in for a second. Here's Jesus pouring out every ounce of his blood as the savior of mankind. And these clowns come along and say, ha, 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 look at you now, you're hanging on the cross. You said, destroy this temple and I'll build it up in 3 days. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. Boy, they were playing with fire. It used to be a song. I don't know if he's still singing or not. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone on that cross. You see, Jesus had heard those words before. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Let me take you back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus is out in the wilderness and Satan is out there. And Jesus has gone 40 days and 40 nights without food. And he's hungry and Satan comes up and tempts like he always does at the point of our greatest weakness. And he said those same words, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. No big thing, you're the Son of God. Turn these stones, they're rocks in the mountains of Palestine that look for all the world like a little small round loaf of bread. And maybe this inspired the devil. I don't know what inspires the devil, but the devil comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, and then hanging on the cross at the end of his ministry, here come the clowns, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they say, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And Jesus could just as easily have turned those stones into bread as he could have come down from the cross. But there was one thing that kept him hanging there. You have any idea? You and me. You and me. Jesus died on that cross for Dennis Tucker. And for every single one of you, and if you were the only person on the face of the earth, I believe I know the mind and heart of God, Jesus would have died for you on that cross that you could have been saved. The if of Jesus' divinity. I had a professor one time that said, you know, Jesus never really claimed to be the Messiah. And my ears perked up, and I remembered something. One time Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they announced, oh, you're one of the prophets or this or that or whatever. And old Peter, sometimes he got it right. Sometimes he put his foot in his mouth. But sometimes he got it right. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus didn't say, don't go that far. That's not really true. He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. You didn't dream that up. No one suggested that to you. The Spirit of God revealed that to Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The high priest, at the end of Jesus' ministry, they dragged Jesus in front of the high priest. And the high priest said, I want to know, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God? Jesus said two words, I am. You may not have done very much theological study in your own time, but there was something powerful about just those two words, I am. Because when you go back into the Hebrew Bible and you look at the name of Holy God, and Moses is standing there and says, when I go to Egypt, who shall I tell him? Who shall I tell him sent me? And God the Father said, tell them, I am has sent you. And at that moment, before those doubting scribes and Pharisees, Jesus announced himself as the great I am. I am, he said. And you see the Son of God sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. Don't doubt Jesus is a Savior. He's not like Mohammed. He's not like the founder of some other religion, some cult, some group. You know, they're all bundled in together in our day and time. There is one person who walked the face of this earth who claimed to be God, and his name was Jesus. And the Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. Don't doubt his divinity. There is a blessed if. It's found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. This is one place where you can trust an if, okay? Because it says, if you believe in Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth, you'll be saved. There's an if that makes a difference. But it's up to you. It's up to me. If you believe. If you believe. You see, God has done everything to make a way. A way of salvation where there was no way until Jesus came. And he said, if you will believe, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you have to believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, and you have to believe he rose from the dead. And that's it. You don't have to pass a merit test in order to be saved. You just believe and trust in Jesus Christ. But sadly, there is another word that is often added to the word if. And it's the word if only. If only. King Herod Agrippa, the Apostle Paul, stood in front of Herod Agrippa, who had the power to take Paul's life. And after Paul told him about Jesus and his being a Savior and dying on the cross and rising from the dead, and Herod Agrippa scratched his head and said, Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost, but lost. Almost, but lost. I cannot help but believe that hell is literally filled with people who can't stop saying, if only, if only, if only I had believed in Jesus, if only I had received Jesus into my heart, if only I had confessed Jesus as my Savior, it would all be different. I would be with the thief on the cross. Remember what Jesus said? The thief said this, his confession of faith. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, that's it. That does it. That's enough. I'll see you today in paradise. Has Jesus ever said that to you? Do you know that you're saved? Don't have to say, if only. You see, we'll know a lot more when we die. Oh, our eyes will be opened. And I don't want a single person to say, if only. Say yes. Confess Jesus. Hebrew name is Yeshua. He is the Savior, Joshua. He is the one who is able to pardon every sin you've ever committed. You remember that man that was ill and laying flat on his back? And first thing Jesus said to him was not rise up and walk. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever hear Jesus say in your mind and in your heart is, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When you pray, don't doubt. Jesus, in the last, very final chapter of Matthew, said to the disciples, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Can God put Salem Church on its feet? Can God fill these pews? Can God fill the educational building? Can God get the attention of this entire community by what he's doing in your church? All power is given unto me. There is no problem. There is no issue. There's no question that Jesus is not sufficient for. And that's all I have to say. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word, which is a lamp, which is a light. Lord, I pray that you would take these feeble words of this old aging apostle and touch someone's heart today. And that is my prayer. May your Holy Spirit move in this place like a mighty rushing wind. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.